Good morning and welcome to Tuesday morning. It's great to have you here, Evan Bray, on a day that part of the province wakes up and checks the rain gauge to see how much rain they got overnight, a pretty big dump in some parts of the south, whereas central and north, a little more sporadic, and in fact, some places no moisture at all. Not a drop in Saskatoon last night, for example, but a downpour in Regina. So let us know what your rain gauge says. If you got some rain this morning, I always appreciate the check-in at 1-877-332-8255. Okay, big day today as I got the TV on mute in the control room here, keeping an eye on what's going on in Ottawa. Mark Carney unveils his cabinet today as we speak. They are taking their seats in Rideau Hall in Ottawa. Cabinet is, we know it's going to be smaller than Trudeau's, with some fairly marked departures, including, by the way, the appointment of secretaries of state. Not totally foreign. Justin Trudeau didn't have secretaries of state in his government appointments, but we have seen it before. Harper did it. Martin did it. And we will likely see it again today. So we will be following these announcements. Stephanie Taylor will be joining us. She's a Canadian press reporter that we've had on the show before. She will join us after nine for a chat about the decisions and the appointments that we see coming out of Ottawa. Also on the show today, palliative care is an important part of our health system in the province, but there are some misconceptions about it. I've got a doctor on the show clarifying a few things about what the full role of palliative care looks like in the province. Our regular check-in with the Saskatoon Chief of Police. I've got a registered dietitian, Brooke Bullock, on the show. I love having Brooke on the show. We'll talk about what you need to do to start that healthier lifestyle, and we'll open up phone lines and text lines to take your questions. And what's the longest road trip you've ever been on? How does a 2-year road trip on a motorcycle sound? I've got a guest who's embarking on that journey, and he's going to join us live in studio just before he sets off on his journey. We'll talk to him about that at lunchtime today. All right, let's get into today's Big Talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show, The Big Talker.
Well, it's been a long time since we've seen measles making an appearance in Canada, and certainly across North America with regular outbreaks. Although right now we are seeing it happening. It's happening in the United States. It's happening in Canada. And if it keeps spreading, it could mean Canada would lose its 30-year-long elimination status for the disease. Just last week alone, cases doubled from the week before in Saskatchewan. And so we figured, let's do a check-in with Dr. Saqib Shahab, our chief medical health officer for the province of Saskatchewan. And Dr. Shahab joins us from his office this morning. Doc, thanks so much for taking the call.
Hi, glad to be on.
So, measles, what is the situation, particularly in Saskatchewan right now? How many known cases have we got confirmed?
So just in terms of background, and we have this information on our website, saskatchewan.ca. Since 2012 to 2024, most years we had no cases. 1 year in 2014, we had 16 cases, and that was just initial importation and some local transmission. And then other years, we've had maybe one or two cases. Last year, we had one case. 21, 22, 23, 24, we had no cases. So things were pretty quiet. But then starting late last year, we were watching very closely what is happening in New Brunswick, Ontario, Texas, Mexico, and we were getting ready to see some cases. And then, of course, once Alberta and Manitoba started seeing cases, we knew that we would definitely get impacted, and that unfortunately proved to be correct. And so in 2025, we have now seen 27 cases over the last 6 to 8 weeks.
And so are we at the point where we're seeing daily new cases in the province?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, you know, we are likely to see cases rise every week because we are now starting to see local transmission. Initially, the cases we saw in Saskatchewan was someone came from Mexico or the U.S. where there were outbreaks, or from Alberta, not so much from Ontario. So we saw initial importation, and maybe if the whole household was unvaccinated, 4 or 5 additional cases within the household. But now we are seeing some evidence of local transmission. So I think that's why we probably are going to see some ongoing case numbers.
So can I ask you, Dr. Shahab, we got into a discussion about measles last week on the show, and people were texting in asking, is this red measles? Is this German measles? Can you give us a sense of what measles is, how it's so contagious, and what type are we talking about right now in the province?
Yeah. So German measles or rubella is a very mild viral infection, but it can be very serious in women who are pregnant because it can cause severe impacts on the unborn child during pregnancy. So that's rubella, and we just call it rubella to avoid confusion. And the measles, you know, we're talking about today, we've known that for centuries. You know, I think first described by physicians in the 9th century. It's a very severe infection, and in the 1950s, we would say 60-70 million cases of measles globally and 2 million deaths. So measles was by no means a mild infection. It was very severe, you know, one of those high-impact diseases of childhood. And then, of course, in the 60s, a vaccine was developed, and it was widely used in Canada beginning in the 70s. And once we started by giving one dose, but then we started giving the measles, mumps, rubella dose that covered all three. Then we started giving two doses. So because of that increase in vaccination rate and a very effective vaccine that is good for life, we stopped seeing measles transmission in Canada, in fact, in North America in 1998. So we achieved the measles elimination strategy, and all we would see is occasional cases from other parts of the world.
Right. Do we have a sense of how many people in our province are currently vaccinated?
So during the 1980s, you know, there's lots of catch-up programs. So everyone got one dose beginning in the 1970s. Then, you know, people were offered a second dose. In 1996, we started giving two doses of MMR to every child. So that was at 12 months and 18 months. We added the varicella, the chickenpox component, to that vaccine, so children now receive the MMRV vaccine. In general, we did fairly well. Our vaccination rate by the time children start school are around the 91% mark. People generally say that if you're at 95%, you're unlikely to see large outbreaks. We're at 91%. But here's the thing, that if you have random families who are unvaccinated, mixed and surrounded by families who are vaccinated, you can get by because that family is relying on others to protect them, but they're not protecting anyone else. But having said that, because they're surrounded by rings of vaccination, you can get by, and that's how we got by for the last 30 years. But once you have families who are connected to families who are connected to families who are unvaccinated, that's when you start seeing that chain reaction, which is what we're seeing now. And that becomes very difficult to control because even though it's only 9% of the population, if they're connected to one another, 9% of the population, if you just look at the population born after 1970, that's still in Saskatchewan, you know, 40, 50,000 people. So that's still a lot of people, and you can potentially see a lot of measles cases because of that.
I want to work in a couple of more questions here. Dr. Saqib Shahab is my guest, chief medical health officer for the province of Saskatchewan. Once you've been vaccinated, you don't need a booster. You should be good, correct?
So born after 1970, two doses, you're good for life.
Okay. And next question is, how is it passed? How is it transmitted?
So measles is many people are surprised when they hear that, is the most infectious virus that we know of. So, if you have a cold, we often say cough in your sleeve, you cough in a tissue paper. A lot of that transmission is droplet. Some of it can be airborne, but mostly it's droplet surfaces. But measles is airborne. So if you have someone who enters a room and is just breathing, not coughing, not sneezing, and then leaves that room for 2 hours, that room is infectious. If you have people who are unvaccinated enter the room 1 hour later, 2 hours later, they will almost certainly catch measles. One case of measles can infect up to 20 unvaccinated people. That's very high. If you, one person with a common cold can infect two or three people, or one person with COVID can infect two or three people. But here, if you're vaccinated, you're not going to get infected, or it's very extremely unlikely. But if you're unvaccinated and there's 20 people who enter that room, an hour later, all 20 may potentially get infected. So that's how infectious it is.
You know, we've talked, you and I have talked about vaccinations and how during COVID there was a strong push against vaccinations from certain people in Canada and in the world, I would suggest. That same resistance, I would suggest, hasn't been there for measles vaccinations, for example. However, is there a hangover? Are we seeing an effect on attitudes towards vaccinations as a result of what we went through with COVID?
Yeah, that's a really important point, even. And I'll just maybe, if you give me a bit of a time to just step back. So obviously, you know, grandparents of today saw the toll that measles and other infectious diseases took in the 40s and 50s and early 60s. You know, children died from measles, children died or got paralyzed from polio, you know, infants were born with severe disabilities due to rubella, infants died due to pertussis. So people knew the value of vaccines. So, you know, vaccines were accepted without question in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and most vaccine-preventable diseases were eliminated not just from Canada and other prosperous countries, but much of the world. During COVID, we have to remember that, you know, COVID impacted those who were older more. And so there was a very high vaccine uptake in seniors, almost 95, 99%. And that's what resulted in, you know, much lower hospitalization and death than we could have seen without a vaccine being available in time. But of course, you know, people understood that COVID is less severe in people who are younger and healthier. So once vaccine was widely available, the vaccination rate was lower in children. And you know, that didn't have such a significant impact because COVID impacts those who are older more. But measles is very different. Measles, you know, if you're born before 1970, you're most likely immune due to being exposed to measles at that time, which again gives lifelong immunity, just like two doses of vaccine. Mm-hmm. Measles impact is more severe in infants under the age of one, who are too young to be vaccinated. It's very severe for unvaccinated women who are pregnant and people who are immunocompromised. So this is why, you know, measles is very different. It's a childhood illness, which can be very severe, and that risk can continue in adulthood if you're unvaccinated or immunosuppressed. So that's why the emphasis really is on getting your vaccine in childhood. And it's really interesting that, you know, grandparents got their children vaccinated. The parents have the protection of vaccination, but they're sometimes, in a small minority of cases, maybe 5, 10%, delaying getting all vaccines for their children. And I think this is not just COVID, it's different types of disinformation. You know, in some cases, it could be COVID-related. In some cases, there's this misconception that maybe getting the disease is a more natural way to get immunity, but the disease is much more likely to cause significant impacts, including hospitalization and death. So there's various reasons why today's parents sometimes, not for the most part, 90% are actually getting their children vaccinated, and that's the right thing to do. But in some cases, there is some hesitancy, and I think it's really important to address that. I think I encourage parents to talk to their healthcare providers, public health nurses, and ask questions, because most times when they've had that discussion, they accept vaccination. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Shahab, always appreciate you joining the show. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thanks a lot,
Ivan. Dr. Saqib Shahab, the Chief Medical Health Officer for Saskatchewan, and an urging of the 9% of people in Saskatchewan that have not yet been vaccinated or had their children vaccinated for measles. It is basically advancing in daily cases. We're seeing that. It's actually doubled in the last week in the province. We're at 27 cases now. And yeah, for people who are older, for young children, for women who are pregnant, those are the people who show the vulnerability and have the most at risk when it comes to catching the measles. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Well, we are watching as they are live right now, swearing in the new cabinet. Dominic LeBlanc, the first minister sworn in, the minister responsible for Canada-U.S. trade. So fairly important position. Who else is going to be in Mark Carney's cabinet? If you look at the people seated in the front row, Melanie Joly is there. Sean Fraser is there. Stephen Guilbeau is there. Chrystia Freeland is there. So while Melanie Joly being appointed Minister of Industry right now, a lot of people saying, look, this is going to tell us what kind of future we're going to have. Is it the same roster that we saw under Trudeau, or is it completely new? There will be some new faces, but it looks as if there will be some returning faces as well. This will be the conversation after 9 o'clock. We'll bring in Stephanie Taylor at 9:30. I want to hear your thoughts on this as well. Does the federal cabinet appointments today tell us something about the direction that Mark Carney is taking the federal government? That's where we'll go next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.